All right, are you ready for this morning's message? You got to be putting on your thinking caps. Are you set to do that? First, a little bit of history. If I'm testing your IQ, how many of you have a good history sense? Love history and good sense. December 14th, 1799. Not a date you probably knew pretty well. George Washington, father of our country, after he was president, he, you know, was retired and whatever. He went out for the day riding on a horse, and it was inclement weather. That's all it says, inclement weather. But he rode all day, and when he came in, he was feeling poorly. His throat was hurting, and he was struggling to breathe a little bit. And as the time went by, it got more and more severe. And he was having more and more trouble breathing. They were very concerned about him. He was in respiratory distress. So they called the greatest doctors of the you can imagine, the father of the country. They got the best doctors. They got the most skilled people. And they came to treat him. And they bled him. That is, let blood out. Let the bad blood out so that he would heal. They bled him 4 times in 12 hours. He lost a total of 40% of his blood, and he died. Michael, are you glad that they don't still do bloodletting? When they were treating you, they could have bled you, and they would never get all the bad blood out. I love Michael, so he knows I'm teasing you. Don't get me wrong, modern medicine is an amazing thing. I would not have a daughter that is present here without modern medicine. Amen? How many of you owe your lives to modern medicine? Yeah. And if those of you don't, I could say someone in your family. We know that, and they can do amazing things, but there are some things they don't know, they haven't figured out, they can't grasp, they don't know at all. So we need to remember that. Have you ever had an MRI taken? They slice your body and take pictures of it? That just unnerves me. It's pretty amazing. It's magic. You know that when technology gets to a certain level, it's indistinguishable from magic. And I'm kind of thinking that. I think the same thing every time I watch Jurassic Park and see the real dinosaurs that are there. They're real as can be. You've seen them, haven't you? Some of them are kind of nasty little rascals. I'm not discounting modern medicine or any of that at all. Just want you to be aware that we don't know everything yet. 200 years from now, what will we look back and say, can you believe that's what they did to each other in the name of medicine? I'll bet you chemotherapy and radiation are two of those. They work for us. They do amazing things, but I'll bet they have something else figured out in 200 years. I hope so. Amen? All right. I have another question for you. How many are like math? Math, science, that sort of thing. All right. Simple thing. All right. All of you have gone to some sort of school. All of you went through 8th, 9th grade geometry. All right. You have a circle. Here we go. You have a circle, and the circle is exactly 10 inches in diameter. What is the area of that circle? That may be a hard calculation to do without your computer running. Let's just do the circumference of the circle. What's the circumference of a circle with a diameter of 10 inches? 31.496, yeah. Richard, how many decimals of pi have you got memorized? So there you go. So we just heard what the circumference-ish. What could it be exactly? I mean, if it's multiplied, if you take pi diameters is 10 times pi. Well, what is the absolute value of pi? Nobody knows. It's a repeating decimal, 3.1415926. And it goes on and on and on forever. So we don't know exactly the value of pi. So we cannot know exactly the circumference of the circle. The area of a pie. You make an apple pie, 10 inches, pi r squared, radius squared. I did it on my calculator. My math's not that fast. The 78.539816 square inches-ish. Now, I got to ask you, there's only so much apple pie there. There's an exact amount of apple pie there. We should be able to figure that out exactly, yes? Well, we, you what? You get half. We don't know for sure what that area is exactly. We don't know exactly what the circumference is. Does that unnerve anybody? We're now working with computers that are measuring things in nanometers. So small that if you drop the human hair under the microscope next to it, it would completely obliterate everything there. We're talking very, very small measurements. And so now the value of pi-ish. Do you wonder if we don't have math completely figured out yet? It's something that keeps me awake at night sometimes. If it doesn't bother you, let it go. Sleep peacefully. So I'm talking about knowledge. And by the way, I am told that ragweed is in season. My eyes told me. Allergies. Anybody else have allergies? We're together there, brothers and sisters. All right. Knowledge. We just talked about knowledge. Do we have a pretty good handle on knowledge? It seems like it, doesn't it? Seems like we're really getting there. Artificial intelligence is coming right around the corner. Have you seen that robotic dog that Boston Dynamics makes? Goes upstairs, dances. If you haven't seen it, go to Google and Google the Dynamics, Boston Dynamics dog. I think it's named Spot. Somebody help me, no? I can't believe that that thing isn't alive. Incredible thing. It's obviously a machine, but I have gotten a little off track here, so let's bring this back now. So knowledge is an awesome and wonderful thing, but it has a seductive edge. As we continue to learn more and our knowledge increases, it seduces us into believing that we know it all and that there's nothing that we can't analyze, measure, categorize. And so those things that are unmeasurable, that are unknown, can't exist. Faith, God. My dad is gone, but he was a scientist, mathematician, mining engineer, physics, calculus teacher. And he once commented to me, his dad was a pastor. And so he grew up in the Presbyterian church with that. And he said, some people argue about science or faith, science or religion, and the two are in conflict. He says, there's no conflict. He says, what we know and can measure and categorize is science, but beyond that, there are things that we don't know. There are other things, and that's where faith begins. My dad's wisdom, amen? Be aware that some people gain a lot of knowledge, but it isn't necessarily wisdom. See, Deb read from the Apocrypha, the Solomon's wisdom is listed there, and talking about wisdom, and it's a female, and there's a lot of debate about what's going on with wisdom and that persona in the female guise. But wisdom is important. Wisdom has been with God. Wisdom is something that God celebrates and cherishes. And so what is wisdom? And how does that fit in with knowledge? The wisest of the wise know that knowledge and science can only go so far. Jesus once commented, "No one knows what happens beyond the veil of death. Not even Jesus when he was on earth. Only God can know that. Beyond there, something unimaginable. We can imagine perhaps, but I doubt we'd be accurate." And that is an act of faith. So let me ask you another question. Were Adam and Eve wise? I mean, if you think about people with very high IQs, who do you think about? Einstein pops right up there for me. Tesla, Gates, perhaps, although he actually didn't make the list of the top 25. Who's the one that just died that had, was it Lou Gehrig's disease? Hawkins, thank you. It's okay, as I get older, there's part of the memory that gets stored in reserve there, and it's just not available. But do you think Adam and Eve were wise when they made the choice? God said you can live in the garden, you don't have to worry about clothes, you don't have to worry about food. Just love this beautiful garden made for you, but do not eat from the fruit of the tree of knowledge. And they did. And they realized they were naked. And they realized all the other things. And they were kicked out of that Eden because they wanted to know. They wanted to ask those questions. And in knowing, they knew then their own finitude, their own death would come someday. Ask, how many of you have a cat or a dog? Ask them if they know about death. They'll smile and say, "When's dinner?" And that's okay. There's blissful ignorance there, and that's a wonderful place to be. Adam and Eve chose to depart from that. So now we stand at a place where we have more knowledge. But wisdom is more than just knowledge, and sometimes less than knowledge. From what Deb read, the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield. Oh my. Full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. That's the wisdom that's called out and named in the Wisdom of Solomon. Now you can understand perhaps why it's included in our reading. A harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. So you see, wisdom is this other thing. There is knowledge that's there. We can make peace. We can be gentle. We can care for one another medically. We can do all of those other things. Gentleness comes, willingness to yield. That's a tough one for us Americans. Boy, are we an egotistical bunch, aren't we? Admit it. We got to fess up there. We feel like we're the number one, the best, and everybody should do it our way. Why doesn't everybody speak English like we do? You know, it's not even, in the top three languages, is it, spoken in the world? I'm getting down another sidetrack there. So here's wisdom. Here is wisdom. Wisdom is changing over time, and knowledge and wisdom, they're beginning to. Do you know that the idea that not making war had to come as a growing edge for humanity? Do you remember the story of David and Bathsheba? Vaguely remember the story. David, and he seduces the wife of one of his soldiers. He commits a terrible sin of adultery. He forces her into that relationship. She becomes pregnant, And to try and cover it up, he sends her husband back to spend the night with her, but the husband refuses to go in the bedroom with her. So he has the husband killed on the battlefield and takes Bathsheba as his wife to cover up what he has done, to hide his transgression. The prophet Nathan comes and says, God knows, God's aware, and you, sir, must repent. And there is more to the story that continues there. But that whole story begins. It begins when it says, in the spring of the year, when good kings go to war, David stayed home. So here was a mindset that every year in the spring there should be war and conquest, and there's going to be riches, there's going to be all the things that happen with it. War was a given part of how humanity was and how we are in the world. And so knowledge and wisdom have helped us move beyond that, mostly. Perhaps some of the transgressions we're experiencing in our world right now are still those warrior conquest ideals. Knowledge and wisdom. The gospel lesson, that's what it's about. Did you hear that? It's one of the pieces of scripture that I know it's important, I know it's central, but I'd rather go back to the parables and the fun stuff and the teaching and Jesus and his disciples and just having a great time. But he begins to teach his disciples that he must endure his passion. Passion. That's the word we use for it. I'm not sure why that is, and I've always said I'm going to research that one of these days. You'll know when I get there. But his passion is about his capture and his torture, his questioning, his trial, his crucifixion, and his death. Jesus' passion, and he tells the disciples that this has to happen. And Simon Peter, like many of us, would, no. This is a great thing we have going here. We got the disciples, people are following us, you're popular, it's just a great life, you're teaching and we're your students and everything's happy and everything's joyful. This cannot come to an end. No, Lord, you can't have this happen. Don't tempt me, Simon. Don't tempt me to not do what I'm called to do. Don't tempt me not to follow through with where God has sent me. Get behind me, Satan. You see, Jesus knew his destiny. It was painful to perceive. And the disciples didn't want to hear it. The disciples were in denial. The disciples didn't understand Jesus at all. That he must go and make a sacrifice of atonement for humanity, for sin, and bring us salvation. That knowledge was hard to hear. The wisdom is that in fulfilling this, Jesus becomes the Christ to us, the Messiah, the Savior, the one that cares for us, nurtures us, and redeems us. So as we are in the world, let's contemplate what wisdom there is and how it relates to knowledge. You can gain knowledge and gain knowledge and gain knowledge, and you can go to doctors, the smartest and the wisest and the most up-to-date, and they, if they are truly wise, will admit we don't know everything. We're trying, we're learning, but we're still practicing medicine. So wisdom and knowledge. The wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. Lord God, be with us and guide us to wisdom amidst the flood of knowledge in our world around us. Amen? Amen.